Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on the time of day or night that you are listening to this recording. My name is Andrea Moore, and I am the Health Equity Specialist for ESRD Networks 3, 4, and 5. For some of you, I may be a familiar voice or name. For many others, I'm sure that I am new to you. And so I want to take the time to introduce myself, to talk about the new health equity role, and just to say hello. So welcome, and I won't take up too much of your time. So let's hop right in. This definition of health equity comes directly from the CMS statement of work that the ESRD networks uses to really shape the work that we will do for the contract year. So while this definition is certainly correct, in a few more slides, we're going to expound upon this definition. But let's start here. According to CMS, health equity is achieved when every person has the opportunity to attain his or her full health potential, and no one is disadvantaged from achieving this potential because of social position or other socially determined circumstances. Now, this illustration I really love because we're able to see what equity looks like versus equality and the true goal of justice. So as you can see in this first picture here to the left, with equality, all three of these individuals who are looking at this soccer or football, depending on where you are, you know, they are all trying to watch this soccer game. And so equality is giving each of these individuals the same exact support. It is equal. Each of these individuals have this one crate. But as you can see, just having that one crate is not working out well for each of them for different reasons. For the young boy with the yellow shorts, having this one crate is not enough for him to see the football game or the soccer game. Now, when you shift to equity, now we start to talk about what is fair. We go beyond giving each person the same support just for the sake of making sure that everyone is being issued the same resource or the same benefit. This with equity, we're looking at what is fair. When we see that someone might be disadvantaged by receiving the same support as another person, we give them what is fair so that they can achieve the goal as their neighbor. So in this illustration, you see that the little boy with the yellow shorts who once had the same crate as the lady with the red shirt and the man with the jeans, you now see that he has two crates because those two crates puts him on an even playing field as his neighbors to the left. He too can now see this soccer game. Now, justice, our real goal, is removing the barrier. And in this illustration, the barrier is the fence. They can't see the soccer game because of the fence. When you remove that fence, these individuals do not need these extra support. They don't need the extra support because now this barrier is removed. Now, I won't go over this verbatim, this slide here. I just wanted to illustrate how CMS is very focused on health equity in our new statement of work. So where you see these bullet points, this is me really just making it a little more succinct what CMS is asking of the network. So for an example, you see in this first bullet point here that CMS is asking for the networks to identify health equity issues and collaborate with community coalitions to mitigate and resolve these inequities that we identify. So So the primary focus of the community coalitions that we work with, and I would say that you all are a community coalition, truly. So one of the primary focuses of the community coalitions should be to identify and to commit to overcoming health equities. So again, I won't read each bullet point verbatim, but this is just me showing you how CMS is focused on health equity in this contract cycle and hopefully well beyond, because health equity is a lifelong goal until justice is actually achieved. So I mentioned earlier that while I agree with CMS's definition of health equity, we can take it a little bit further. We can get a little more detailed. And Dr. Lisa Cooper, who some of you may be familiar with, she is a very brilliant doctor at Johns Hopkins. She defines health equity as about more than individuals or individual behavior. But health equity is also about the history and context of places and systems. Health equity is about system level factors contributing to inequities in health and in opportunities. So the reason why I find it necessary to include this quote is because Dr. Cooper says that we should go beyond just individuals and individual behavior. I'm sure that we can all agree that inequities and disparities that we see in healthcare and specifically in kidney disease or go well beyond just one individual. Well beyond one individual, there are a lot of systemic factors at play. We know that the primary causes of kidney disease are hypertension and diabetes. And where a person lives, their access to healthy foods, the walkability of the neighborhood that an individual lives in, the safety of the community, all of those things, access, all of those things truly do impact an individual's health, their mental health, their physical health. And so those are really system level factors. A lot of those things are policy choices. And so with that being said, we have to go beyond just the individual. We have to go beyond saying, well, you know, Mr. John Smith is not eating well. And so this is what caused his diabetes and what led to him having kidney failure and being on dialysis. Well, why did Mr. John Smith not have access? Why did he not have the information to know how to eat well and how to access these things? So there's so much at play. There are so many systems involved. And so this is a really, really great quote because it allows us to step back and really look beyond just an individual and look at what are these systemic factors at play that are really leading to a lot of the inequities and disparities that we see. With that being said, since that it is a systemic issue, the health inequities and disparities, we need to have a multifaceted approach to a multifaceted problem. And so that approach includes everything from culturally and linguistically responsive care, engagement and education, to mental health services, to food security, and really to looking at all of the things in which transform the conditions in which people live, grow, work, and age. And so you notice that we leave out transforming the conditions in the dialysis center. Obviously, that is a part of it, but you all know that a person, and I put heavy emphasis on person, a person on dialysis is a person who leaves the dialysis center at some point, is a person who comes off of the machine at home. This is a person who lives outside of the dialysis center who grows, who works, who ages. And so we have to look at this person holistically and really try to have a multifaceted approach for all of the areas in which a person lives his or her life. So working towards health equity, what might our collaboration look like? I left a slide here because the hour in this slide is not you and I. And by the you and I mean the patients and family. I left this slide here because I want you all to know how I intend to work with my colleagues in the network. So for us to really work towards health equity, me and my other colleagues in the networks 3, 4, and 5, is we first have to have a shared agreement and understanding of the value of health equity. You know, we have to really support one another to work towards advancing health equity and inclusivity. What collaboration is going to look like in the network is together, we are going to identify patients and facilities and the network needs so that we can achieve health equity. And we're going to do that by looking at a lot of different resources that we have available to us. So that'll include facility reports. It will include multiple data sources. It's going to include meeting with the team regularly. And right now, that means once a month. It's going to include being a part of different coalitions. It's going to improve really doing a better job at identifying and working with community-based organizations who are already working towards health equity by looking at those different social factors in which people live, grow, work, and age. It's also going to look like creating and co-creating initiatives and materials. And it's also going to look like outreach efforts to not only engage and educate the network staff, but also you having outreach efforts to engage providers and patients and families where needed. I just want to share this with you as well, that when talking to my colleagues in networks 3, 4, and 5, I asked them, you know, what did they see as the most frequently cited root causes of health inequities that the project facilities have reported? And you can see here by this yellow bar, overwhelmingly, project facilities in networks 3, 4, and 5 are reporting socioeconomic factors as the primary root causes for health inequities. And that was followed by physical environment. So again, this is really a nod to where people live, where they work, where they age, where they grow. So, you know, this is what facilities are reporting. So it's really in line with a lot of what we've talked about already in this slide. So this is also information shared from my colleagues in networks 3, 4, and 5. You know, I asked them, what are some immediate areas where we could collaborate? And of course, this is based on their experiences, what they are seeing when they are working with providers. And overwhelmingly, my colleagues said that health literacy is a huge issue that they are hearing about from providers. Providers are stating that health literacy is a barrier to transplant. It's a barrier to shifting patients from in-center to home dialysis. It's really just a barrier to encouraging and facilitating patients being able to advocate for themselves, being able to make the most informed decisions for themselves as it relates to their health. And so I wanted to add some statistics that really supports what my colleagues are hearing from providers. Nearly 9 out of 10 adults in the US have a low health literacy level. Low health literacy disproportionately is found among Americans with lower income. Individuals with low health literacy have more encounters with the healthcare system compared to those with proficient health literacy. So with my colleagues reporting health literacy as an issue and with the statistics supporting that this is definitely an issue in the United States, this is one area where we are going to certainly work towards in the immediate future. Transportation, as I'm sure you all are aware, has consistently been an issue when it comes to the kidney disease and dialysis population. And then a lack of insurance, and that lack of insurance has been associated with citizenship based on what we are hearing from providers. So this is what we are hearing as big issues. And so these are going to be some of the issues that we will attempt to tackle. This is a good time for us to kind of go back and talk about the systemic factors that I mentioned earlier, how we have to move beyond just looking at the individual and the individual factors that might lead to disparities and inequities. But look at the lack of insurance and citizenship. This is not anything that the network can do. We can't help when it comes to the lack of insurance or the citizenship. That's a system. You know, those are multiple systems involved in that statement of lack of insurance and how citizenship or lack of citizenship relates to that. So just want to point that out that, you know, this is where the systems comes into play. It cannot just be one system or one network or one quality improvement organization looking at advancing health equity. This is really going to have to be an all hands on deck situation in order for us to really move the needle. So some immediate plans that I hope to jump into. I really want to learn more about your needs, my colleagues' needs, and the needs of dialysis facilities in the network's 3, 4, and 5 region. I want to be able to test processes and strategies and best practices for working together. And I want to be able to meet with community benefits organizations. So those are just some of my plans. This is one of the asks. I ask that you all, enroll in the social determinants of health eLearn. So, you know, if you want to learn more about the social determinants of health, you certainly can do that for free. And I have the website here at the bottom of the slide. And then lastly, I'd love to hear from you. When we meet for our live Q&A, I would love to hear from you and have you all think about, you know, what would you like to see in a year? So in 1 year, what achievable health equity advances would you like to see come to fruition? What community-based organizations should the network connect with? I know that you all already know different organizations and different people who are doing great work when it comes to health equity. I am a huge advocate of making sure that we bring attention to those individuals and organizations who are already doing great work when it comes to advancing health equity. If we're going to talk about the issues with health equity, I love when we really try to call attention to those who are already doing the work. So are there community-based organizations or individuals who you think I should be in touch with so that we can advance health equity in networks 3, 4, and 5? I also would love to hear from you on how would you like to collaborate on the network's actions taken towards health equity? How can you and I collaborate? How can the network collaborate with you to move towards achieving health equity? And then lastly, in your opinion, what is the network's and the dialysis center's role in advancing health equity? I would really, really love to hear your response to these questions. So as you listen to this recording as you think about your responses to this, not just to these questions, but to all of the slides. I would love to hear from you during our live Q&A, and thank you for taking the time to listen. I will speak with you soon.